You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
New Zealand's close yet complicated relationship with China has been the subject of lively political and public debate for many years. 50 years ago, New Zealand began diplomatic ties, and in 2008 we were the first country to secure a free trade agreement with China. I spoke with Jason Young, the director of the New Zealand-China Research Institute, about New Zealand's evolving relationship with China. I first asked him how diplomatic ties between NZ and China have evolved over the past 50 years.
In 1972, when diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China were established, I think few people would have envisaged that some 10, 20 years later, China would embark on a period of reform and become the second or the first largest economy in the world with huge global influence, and then, of course, also becoming the most important economic and trade partner for New Zealand. But at the same time, there's been this massive growth in the amount of engagement between New Zealand and China, a number of people migrating from China to New Zealand, a number of New Zealanders engaging deeply in China, and a lot of exchange culturally, educationally, intellectually has also been occurring. It's been a huge shift in the relationship that I think in 1972 few people would have foreseen.
As you mentioned, China is our largest trading partner, and this is not likely to change anytime soon. In what ways has COVID-19 likely to affect our trading relationship over the coming years?
Over the coming years, it's very hard to say what COVID-19 will mean for global trade. There's obviously, over the last few years, been significant disruptions in supply chains all over the world, and New Zealand overall trade, particularly in 2020, had a bit of a dip. But actually, with China, the amount of exports and imports actually increased. So very similar to what happened after the global financial crisis in 2008, and global trade decreased, but New Zealand trade with China actually did increase. And so now China has moved to taking up 33% of all New Zealand exports, and has become very much the dominant market for many New Zealand exporters, in particular those large agribusinesses that export commodity products such as dairy, meat, and some horticultural businesses as well. So in the future, we're likely to see trade with China maintain that significant position. But also at the same time, I think there's a realization amongst a number of businesses in New Zealand, particularly exporting businesses, that it's not good to rely solely on one market for all of their exports. And so we're likely to see some ongoing efforts to minimise potential risks of a downturn in any market or some sort of political disruption to trade, and also to diversify along a sort of a strategy of the Chinese market is important, but other markets are also important, and we need to have a sort of a balanced portfolio of export markets.
And talking on changing sentiments of New Zealanders and on Chinese people and China as a country, 37% of New Zealanders perceive China as threatening, which is a slight jump from 2019. How has public sentiment towards China been affected by recent tensions, particularly in the South Pacific?
Yeah, no, it's a really concerning trend. And in fact, the Asia New Zealand Foundation poll also did a mini poll in June, which found that the number had risen even more sharply to 58% of those surveyed. So it's a really concerning trend. And, you know, I think that at one level, it's because there's more coverage of China now. China is a more significant actor. And many of the behaviours that people are seeing and reading about in the news are quite concerning to a number of New Zealanders. This goes from questions around illiberal politics, questions about values, watching what's happening and what happened in Hong Kong and continues to happen in terms of the democracy processes, protests being shut down and the clampdown there, or the concerning human rights conditions in Xinjiang, or even just watching more generally the state of the Chinese media. The state of intellectual freedoms in China is very concerning for a lot of people. That sort of authoritarian, or perhaps better phrased as a Leninist-style politics, is quite hard for New Zealanders to see as positive. And then in the more, harder edge of things, we see increasing security competition in the Indo-Pacific, in particular between China and the United States, but also with China and a number of other countries, including Japan, Philippines, Vietnam, and South China Sea issues, also with India, and even tensions with Europe, particularly following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which China has not condemned Russia's behavior. And so we've also sort of starting to see a little bit of that competition coming to the Pacific as well, which is quite concerning for people to see. Questions around growing security competition in the region, the issues around Kiribati and the Solomon Islands in terms of security agreements have really led to this heightened sense of growing strategic competition in our region, which I think makes people a bit more wary of what the intentions of People's Republic of China are in our region.
And what do you think is likely to characterise the developing relationship between New Zealand and China over the coming years?
For New Zealand, China is an important partner and will continue to be so. And I think the last 50 years have seen a huge shift. But in many ways, I think a lot of the New Zealand population still lack the knowledge and the experience to engage effectively with China. And in an inverse, I think, for many people in China as well, there's still this sort of learning experience of how China and the world will engage, or in particular how China and Western countries will engage with each other.